Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. King Xerxes I, whom the Jews called Ahasuerus, ruled from India to Ethiopia. 127 provinces in all. He ruled from his royal throne, in the palace complex of Susa. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his officials and ministers. The military brass of Persia and Media were also there, along with the princes and governors of those provinces. For 6 months, he displayed the immense wealth of his empire and its stunningly beautiful royal splendors. At the conclusion of the exhibit, the king threw a week-long party for everyone living in Susa, the capital of the Achaemenid Empire, for the important and unimportant alike. The party was in the garden courtyard of the king's summer house. The courtyard was elaborately decorated with white and blue cotton curtains, tied with linen and purple cords to silver rings on marble columns. Silver and gold couches were arranged on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and colored stones. Drinks were served in gold chalices, each chalice one of a kind. The royal wine flowed freely. The favor of a generous king. The guests could drink as much as they liked, king's orders, with waiters at their elbows to refill the drinks. Meanwhile, Queen Vashti, whom the king loved, was throwing a separate party for women inside King Xerxes' royal palace. One of the invited guests was Mordecai, a Jew, and a royal courtier at the king's gate. However, he did not attend the festivities. He used the celebration as an opportunity to return to his home, where he lived with his cousin, Hadassah.
Even this far away, we can hear the music from the palace.
Yes, the king is sparing no expense. He is still a relatively new ruler. With such a lavish party, he hopes to solidify alliances and curry favor with his subjects.
Tell me again of the things that you saw before you left.
The palace halls were adorned with luxurious fabrics, ornate tapestries, and elaborate decorations. The walls and ceilings were embellished with intricate patterns and motifs. Waiters walked around with ornate trays of pastries, sweets, and fruits dipped in honey and syrup. A wide variety of roasted meats, seasoned with saffron, cinnamon, cumin, cardamom, and other aromatic spices, were mounted on golden and silver vessels. Throughout the palace and, especially in the courtyard, flowers from various regions of the empire were on display. Scented oils and incense were burned to add to the fragrance.
What kinds of flowers?
Tulips and roses and irises and lilies and jasmine. I even believe that I saw hyacinths, daffodils, and poppies.
I wish I could be there to see it all.
No, Hadassah. That is not the place for you. Especially not on a day like today when the king and all his governors and nobles are in a drunken stupor. King Solomon counseled us, be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags.
Indeed, it was also King Solomon who said, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
My esteemed guests, noble courtiers, and honored officials, I thank you for gracing this grand celebration with your presence. For 180 days, I have showcased the splendor and magnificence of our great Persian Empire, and for 7 days, we have feasted and reveled in joyous camaraderie. Now, I stand before you with a heart full of gratitude and pride. Together, we have celebrated the triumphs of our empire, the glory of our achievements, and the strength of our unity. In this time of abundance and prosperity, I am humbled by the dedication and loyalty you have shown to your king and to the empire. Each one of you, my trusted companions, plays a crucial role in the success and prosperity of our great nation. From the far reaches of our empire, you have journeyed here to honor me with your presence, and for that, I am forever grateful. For the past 6 months, you have seen the royal crowns, ornate weapons, silks, brocades, and tapestries. You have seen ivory carvings, elaborate pottery and ceramics, intricately crafted metal vessels, and golden figurines. You have seen many of our exotic animals. The ostriches, peacocks, flamingos, toucans, hoopoes, zebras, gazelles, ibexes, and lions. You have even seen the throne on which I sit. But you have not yet seen the empire's greatest treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, I have sent for Vashti, the queen. There is nothing and no one that can compare to her beauty.
While the king was speaking, the seven eunuchs who served in his presence had been dispatched to the palace to bring Vashti before the king with her royal crown. They were not prepared for her response to them.
The king has sent for you, your majesty, and the people are all waiting.
He wishes to show the peoples and princes your beauty.
He has boasted that you are the greatest treasure in the empire.
Do you think I should be impressed that he described me as the greatest treasure? What am I to him? Does he consider me to be a piece of meat?
Your grace?
Does the king want to parade me around in a courtyard filled with drunkards so that they can ogle and pour at me?
What is this? I don't understand.
I am content to go to the king, to his private chambers. But I will not be humiliated in front of the entire citadel.
How is this a humiliation?
I am the queen. I am a woman of class and dignity. I am the daughter of Kasid, a mighty man of valor, and the ruler of a great house of Persia. For me to appear before these drunk men would be for me to debase myself.
So are you refusing the king's order?
Yes, I refuse.
Your grace, consider what you are doing. The king is a hard man. He will not take this refusal lightly.
You heard me, eunuch. I will not compromise my principles for the sake of the king's ego.
At last, here she comes.
Where's the queen?
That's not the queen. It's just the king's officials. And they look vexed.
Could it be that she refused the king's orders?
What is the meaning of this?
My lord, king, a word.
A word? Where is the queen? Where is Vashti?
She refused the king's order.
Refused? What do you mean she refused?
She said that she would not be humiliated in front of the men of the citadel.
So instead she humiliates me?
Unconscionable.
This cannot stand. I will not stand for this.
You should not. You are the king of kings.
It's not only the king that Queen Vashti has insulted, it's all of us, leaders and people alike, in every last one of your provinces. The word is going to get out. Did you hear the latest about Queen Vashti? The king ordered her to be brought before him, and she wouldn't do it. When the women hear it, they'll start treating their husbands with contempt. The day the wives of the Persian and Media officials get wind of the queen's brazenness, they'll be out of control. Is that what we want? A country of angry women who don't know their place?
The king's advisors counseled Xerxes to banish Vashti from the kingdom and find a new queen who would be more obedient. And so he issued a decree removing the queen from her royal position. He also sent letters to all the provinces declaring that every man be master in his own household.